You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
What our world needs is comfort to overcome the discomfort.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, send out into the world and into our hearts the good word of comfort in your Son, Jesus Christ. Speak comfortably to us, that we may not be comfortable in our sins, but may take comfort in your grace and forgiveness. Make the crooked straight in our lives, and the rough places plain, that we may see your glory revealed in your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Some preacher, a long time ago, described his work as comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. Both are important, although there are always some people who think one is more important than the other. It is just possible that they are feeling comfortable and feel the need of being made uncomfortable. Still others feel very uncomfortable and feel a very great need for being offered comfort in an uncomfortable world. The season of Advent, preceding Christmas, was probably developed by the church to accomplish both purposes, to comfort the afflicted and also to afflict the comfortable. People with their own ideas of Christmas cheer, running mostly to parties, drinking, and other superficial festivities, need to be made uncomfortable. That's not what Christmas is all about. Others, again, don't need anybody to make them feel uncomfortable. Their lives are a mess, and they know it. They've done things they regret very deeply and don't know what to do about them. They have hurt people and don't know how to get over the bitter feelings that have resulted on both sides. Everything they do, in fact, only makes things worse. If only there were some way out, some helping hand to cut through the difficulties, to ease the hurt, to cure the cuts, and to cauterize the wounds. What our world needs right now is not some specious good news, which is no good at all, like the salt which has lost its power, good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot by men. Advent is not just a time to dress up for Christmas. It's a time for dressing down. To use Bible words, a time for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. It is a time to come back to reality instead of going on a binge, as many people do, in what they call the celebration of Christmas. The prophet Isaiah had just got through dressing down Hezekiah, the king of Israel. Merodach-Baladan, the new king of Babylon, had just succeeded his father Baladan and sent envoys all over that part of the world at the beginning of his reign. They came to Israel too. Hezekiah, in an expansive mood after recovery from a serious illness, took them all around his treasure house, showing them his precious vessels of silver and gold. After they left, the prophet Isaiah asked Hezekiah what they had seen. Hezekiah said, "I showed them everything." "Everything?" asked the prophet. "Everything," said Hezekiah. The king respected the prophet and was surprised to get a dressing down Isaiah said the time will come when all of your precious vessels of silver and gold will be taken by Babylon and will be taken away, and even your sons will become slaves. The king did not react violently. In fact, he accepted the word of the prophet. His only reaction was, at least it won't happen in my lifetime. Such a casual and insensitive approach to the misery of others, so common among people everywhere, fortunately for all of us, is not characteristic of God. It is a good thing that there's someone like Isaiah speaking for God. His message comes from God, cutting through all the secular superficialities and the religious pieties that have lost their meaning. This is God speaking. Comfort, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. She hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. This is the voice of prophecy, as it is the voice of reality. It speaks to us, such as we are. It dresses us down, and it dresses us up. It is the voice of him, as Isaiah said, that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Some of you will recognize these words, because they came from the mouth of another man too, John the Baptist, describing his mission to call attention to the Son of God, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world. John called himself the voice of one crying in the wilderness, making the crooked straight and the rough places plain. Wickedness is worldwide. No matter how we try to gloss it over, evil is universal. The hostility of people toward God, in direct challenge of everything he is, everything he stands for, and everything he demands, is an everyday fact of life. Common criminality in the most unexpected places causes consternation today among peoples everywhere. It comes as a great surprise that people with all the advantages of modern education, scientific research, economic affluence, and even religious sophistication can turn to such elementary selfishness and outright malice as can only hurt others and destroy themselves. In this kind of world in which all of us live, of which all of us are part, which all of us help to make what it is, we approach Christmas. No matter how hard we try, we cannot make ourselves feel comfortable in an afflicted world. Rolling the years back to childhood warmth and security will not do. All the Christmas cards with the beautiful scenes of snow around the old farm will not revive the world. Good old Hezekiah doesn't help things along with his selfish thought, just so it doesn't happen to me. Buying Christmas gifts for others and getting some yourself won't change things. Happiness is not going to be found in a Christmas stocking or a prettily wrapped package. I'm not here to cast a bilious pall over a festive occasion. Neither was the prophet Isaiah. He just had to remind Hezekiah and all of us about reality. A big blowout is not the answer. Go that route and you blow yourself up. Somebody's got to say this. Self-centered security and self-made peace only make things worse. The little hopes they create always disappoint. The disappointment of our world in the hopes it has created are quietly driving people to despair. What hope is there really for our world? Somebody's got to say this too. None at all. If hope depends on what we are able to do, if hope is to grow out of another blowout at Christmas, what our world needs is comfort to overcome the discomfort. Where in the world will you find comfort when everything, absolutely everything that any of us can do brings only discomfort? Is there any news, any good news, to bring comfort to a despairing world? Somebody's got to say this. Somebody has to speak for God, as God speaks for himself. Comfort ye my people, says your God. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem in all her woe, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Listen, world, the good word comes from God. It is good because it is true. You can hear the truth ringing through it. It doesn't tell you to trim up your virtues and trim down your vices, good as that might be. It's not good enough. Trimming up and trimming down produce only temporary results, and that's not enough. The truth about Christmas is that it is not our doing at all. It is God's doing, or it is nothing at all. It is either a good word from God, or it is no good at all. A few deeds of kindness sentimentalized with what is described as the spirit of Christmas don't really change anything at all. They only show us what things could be if we were not what we are. But they don't really change us at all. The good news of Christmas comes from God. It's so ordinary as to be almost unbelievable. A lot of people obviously do not believe it. They treat it as a fairy tale, a beautiful legend to be told and retold because it is so beautiful, even though it is untrue. The truth is that the story of Christmas is not exactly beautiful. It is the story of a real baby born in a real stable. It shows how casual, insensitive people can be to even the most elementary human needs, and how hard of hearing they really are when it comes to listening to the voice of God. Nevertheless, the voice of God sounds forth in that little baby born at Bethlehem. The voice of God did not hesitate to talk about something like human sin. When God deals with reality, he grasps it and comes to grips with it. He does something about it. That's the truth about Christmas. It's a great piece of good news. The news from God is comfort. I know who you are, says God. Comfort. Comfort you, my people. Do you know who you are? God knows. You might be able to get by with everyone else, but you're not going to get by with God. He knows. God knows. And he does something with what he knows. Surprise, surprise. He does what he alone knows how to do. That's the truth about Christmas. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. Made of a woman as we are made. Made under the law as we have to live under his demanding law. That we might receive by his grace and kindness adoption into his family as his sons and daughters simply through faith in that great Son of his whom he sent to do for us and to die for us. Just because and purely because God loves. That's the truth about Christmas. Christ died for our sin. God doesn't blink at sin, but he does something about it. He does not comfort us by telling us that sin is not as bad as it appears to be. It's so bad that death is its reward. The wages of sin is death. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, his Son. The message of Christmas is comfort, to overcome and cure the discomfort. It's comfort from God for his people. He calls them my people. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that victory is hers. Her warfare is accomplished not through her own efforts, but through mine. Tell her that her iniquity is pardoned. She has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Jesus is God's Son. Because of him, the warfare is ended. Because of him, the iniquity is pardoned. Because of him, the sad days are done, and a new day has come. The glory of the Lord is revealed. People everywhere can see it together. It is God's great Christmas party. God rest you merry, ladies and gentlemen. In that Son of his who died for you is pardoned for your iniquities, and your sins are covered. Come forth, said Jesus to Nazareth before that tomb. Come forth, says God to you, from the tomb of your discomfort. Come forth into the sunshine of God's favor from the winter of your discontent. It is God's comfort word to a whole world in despair. He calls out loud and clear so that all can hear. He speaks tenderly his word of comfort and forgiveness. He calls not to sleep and inactivity, but awakens to life and service. He speaks to you comfortably to give you comfort and arouse you to joy. Whatever it is that bothers you, whatever upsets and bad deals you may have endured, whatever problems of health or family trouble you at the moment, the word of God in his Son is a word from him of comfort to you. Receive from him not double punishment, but double forgiveness for the heartburn of your sin. Receive from him what he has to give, life in all its glorious abundance. Receive from him the strength to go on, feeding on his word instead of starving to death. He's your God, my friend. You don't make him God. He makes you a real human being again, a real son or daughter in his family, a real brother or sister to people whom you can surprise with your love in Christ, with Christ, for Christ. Bring comfort to people. Speak comfortably to them as he brings comfort and speaks comfortably to you. Be a voice for him. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God, that the crooked may be made straight and the rough places plain. And once again, let the glory of the Lord be revealed. Amen.